Welcome to another message from the book of Acts. We're in Acts 4 and verse 23. We're teaching the book of Acts from the Greek language, from the original language. And the title of this message here, or this subject, actually, is that the believers pray for boldness. The believers pray for boldness. To be brave. Why would they pray for boldness? Because they had some tragedy ahead. We all have nest eggs. We all have homes. We all have our little dreams, our little retirement package. But when these people became believers, they lost it all. They lost it all. They had no retirement package. They had no homes. They didn't have any security at all except in Jesus Christ. Just think of yourself today now. Pray for boldness. We live in some troublesome times. We have this coronavirus that is going all over the world. The whole economy of the world has been shut down. People are losing their homes, are losing their automobiles, are losing their lives. More important than any of this, all of this tangible, what we might call wealth or security, is life itself. Life itself. My grandfather, Charlie Wilburn, Cherokee Indian, saw his father killed and murdered in front of his eyes for trespassing on his own land because they had taken his land and John Wilburn would not sign the Dawes Act. So they killed him for his land and the children and everything just scattered all over. Not only did they lose their land, but they lost all of their rights. They didn't have a right to own property because they didn't sign the Dawes Act. Many Cherokees didn't do that. They lost it all. My grandfather came to California to be mistaken for a white Okie. But something very terrible happened to him in 1917. He got the German or the Spanish flu. And he never was able to work again in his life from 1917 to 1953 when he died of suffocation. He lived through that flu, but he didn't live. Life's what we might call life's avenues, life's trails that we follow through sometimes can take abrupt turns. He lived by bootlegging whiskey after that. He came out to California. I saw my grandmother and my mother also out in the fields picking cotton, picking peas, picking potatoes, whatever. And I was there helping them pick cotton when I was a baby. I saw my grandfather not out in the field picking cotton, but sitting in the back seat of the car or the front seat of the car, Model A. Sitting there. Sometimes sitting down on the ground in the shade. He couldn't walk across the room without being out of breath. He finally died in 1953, a young man, but very old. 6'4" Cherokee Indian, all crumpled up, suffocating from the damage that had done to his lungs. They sent him right out of the army. He just went home because he was not any worth anything anymore. They gave him a shot that night. The doctor came to our house. Wasn't much of a house. We lived in a shack with a dirt floor. My mother had built a couple of rooms onto a chicken pen and she had a bathroom in there. And I had him in the bedroom. The doctor came and he gave him a shot to relax his lungs so he could breathe. And it also would make him sleep. Just before the doctor gave him the shot, my grandfather told my mother, "I know I'll never wake up when I fall asleep. I'll never wake up." Sad times. Many of us out here, I know many people that have had the coronavirus that have died from it. But some of those that survive, how will their chances of life be from now on? Now, that's just in the world today. We live in America, at least we do here. I know you're listening to me from all over the world. New Zealand, Australia, China, India, Wales, Donald Graybar. Marna and her family from Australia. People listening to me from South Africa, all over the place. We're all in this problem time together. But now let's go back 2,000 years ago and find out what kind of problem these Christians here were facing at that time. Now, one thing, they didn't have the medicine that we have today. But what they had were Jews on their tail, hounding them down, killing them. Later on, we'll find the Roman government going after the Christians. And everything that the Christians had in this world was nothing. They had to liquefy all of their funds because they were transients. As my family were in the Indian nations in America, so they were. My family got a Model A and my mother drove it when she was a very young girl all the way to California. They bought a little acre of ground in East Bakersfield that was hard clay like a brick. My grandfather got little boards floating down the canal and nailed them together and made us a little shack with a dirt floor. Didn't have a big enough piece of board to make a door for it, so we had a flat for that. My grandmother would take a pan of water and throw it on the ground and sweep it. And the ground got pretty hard. That clay got really hard. It was just like a tile floor almost. We had a wood-burning cook stove, or a wood-burning stove, let's put it that way. It wasn't a cook stove, just a stove. Cooked beans on top of it and fried potatoes sometimes. Onions, now and then. Worked in the fields. Ate beans and beans and beans and beans. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner if we had any. No running water, no electricity. But my grandfather and grandmother were so proud that they had a piece of dirt with their name on it. They could own it. And maybe it wouldn't be taken away from them because they were Indians. Go back again. Back to this period of time. These people didn't have that. I grew up in this shack until I was, after I went to school, I was over 7, 8, 9, as well as 8 or 9 years old before I ever lived anything but that shack, and I moved up here to Fish Lake Valley with my stepdad Dale and lived in a concrete block house with real bathroom in it, running water, no electricity again, propane, stove oil, heater, but boy, that was luxury. They didn't have that. They couldn't own anything. Let's see what happened to them. We're leading up to that now. They're praying. The Christians are praying for boldness, that they will go on and live and just face the critical outlook that they had on the world with nothing. They now were become pilgrims. They become transient. They become hobos in the land. Apo lethantes de elthon prostos idios, kai, apel, apangalion, hosa, pros, autos, hoi, arceries, kai, hoi, presbyteroi, epon. Moreover, they had been released. Their own, it says, and they reported, they messaged what things to them the chief priests and the elders they had said. Hoi de accusantes homo thi madro e erain phonain pros ton theon kai epon des pota si ho hoiesos ton urano kai tain gain kai tain thalasson kai ponta ta in autois. Moreover, the ones having heard with one passion, with one mind, with one will, they lifted up their voices toward God. And they said, absolute potentate and ruler, owner and maker, you having been made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all the things in them. Ho tu patros himon dia numatos, hagio stomatos, daid pyros si epon onte e friaxon etne kai laoi emele teson kina. The Father of us through the Holy Spirit. In mouth of David, a child of you, having said, why? Hante is why. Why snorted? Why raged? Why blowed and stomped? That word, ithrioxon, that means to snort like a man honking his horn. Have you ever been around horses? When they get mad, they snort. Marilyn, have you seen some of these stallions up here snort at us and paw the air and snort and flare their nostrils? Many animals do like that. Dogs bark. Hogs squeal and chop and pop their teeth. Why snorted the nations and the people? They imagined empty and vile, empty mirage type things. Let's go back and read this now from the Amplified Bible, 23:24-25. And after they were permitted to go, the apostles returned to their own company, their own fellowship. And they told all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. They said what they had told them. To shut up and go away and don't you dare speak his name again. The name of Jesus. This is the law enforcement. Told them they couldn't be Christians. Not only they couldn't be Christians, now they were not going to have any land, any property at all. And they, when they had heard it, lifted up their voices together with one united mind and will and said, O sovereign Lord, you are he who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything that is in them, who by the mouth of our forefather David, your servant and child, said to the Holy Spirit, why do the heathen Gentiles become wanton and insolent, and rage, and the people imagine, and study, and plan vain, fruitless things that will not succeed. Now, The Jews brought Jesus to Pontius Pilate and demanded that he kill him. He tried to turn him loose. He announced that he was innocent 5 times, and they demanded his death. Now, the Roman government is about to turn on them. And they're going to have trouble with the Jews, and they're going to have trouble with the Romans. Like right here in Fish Lake Valley, we are under the rule of, or the auspices of Esmeralda County. But under that, we have the United States government over that. With the state in Nevada, and then the United States government. 3 levels. Pares teson hoi basileus. Tais geis kai hoi archontes sina keison epi to auto kara tu curio kai kara tu Christo auto. And they stood beside the kings of the earth and the rulers, the first ones, the heads, and they were assembled together upon the it, or actually together, upon the it, epito, auto, that's a what we call an idiom, and it means together, against the Lord and against the Christ of Him. 27. Sinak, Thason, Gar, Ep, Aletheos, En te pole, Tauta, epito, Hagion, Paida, si, esu, hon, ekrisos. Herodes, te, kai, pontios, pilotos. Sin, ethnason, kai, laos, Israel. And it says they were assembled upon the truth. All right, upon the truth. That truth there is without shadow. That's aletheos. That means no shadow. It means something you can see thoroughly and understand and know that is genuine and valid. In the city this, upon the holy child of you, Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate together, nations and peoples of Israel. The whole world had put in to crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews demanded it, but the Romans carried it out because of fear of resurrection, the fear of an insurrection. Verse number 28, Poisas Jose, he ker su kai, he bole su pro racing geneste. And what did the hand of you do? And your will and your counsel. It says here, pro racing. That means that it was foreordained and predestined to become, to happen. This was foreordained and predestined to come, to happen. Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53 took place and was fulfilled that day. Preordained. Foreordained. Ephesians 1 said we were marked off and earmarked and branded in eternity past. God in eternity past decided that He's going to redeem the world by the merits of His Son, Jesus Christ, and that that Son of His would have to die in the city of Jerusalem for our sins. Titanin Kyrie, epidei, epitas, apilas, auton kai dos tois, dulois, Su meta paresias, pases lalein ton logon su. And the things now, Lord, you look upon, the ones threatening them. And give to the servants, the slaves of you, with freedom of speech, with boldness. Help us to say what we need to say. And speak to all of the people and all of the word and all the counsel of you. Marilyn says sometimes I ought to wear a bulletproof vest when I preach. Is that right? Well, say it. Is it? Yeah. Because I just say what's from the Word of God, I just say it. It makes a lot of people mad sometimes. Because they don't want me to denounce Catholicism as God would denounce it, as Islam as God would denounce it. Many religious philosophies, Buddhism, Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism. These all stand against the truths of God's Word. They've all made a menagerie and a goulash of the Word of God and confounded the clear way of salvation. And Paul, or not Paul, but the apostles are saying, give us the ability and the fearlessness to do what we need to do. Let's go back and read this from the Amplified again for a few moments. And when they heard it, they lifted up the voices together with one united mind to God and said, Sovereign Lord, you are He who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything that is in them, who by the mouth of our forefather David, your servant and child, said to the Holy Spirit, Why did the heathen and the Gentiles become wanton, rage, and insolent, and rage, and the people imagine and study and plan and design empty, vain, fruitless things that will not succeed. The kings of the earth took their stand in array for attack, and the rulers were assembled and combined together against the Lord and against His anointed Christ, the Messiah, King of Israel. For in this city there actually met and plotted together against you, Holy Child, and your servant Jesus, whom you consecrated and anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and peoples of Israel, to carry out all that was in your hand and your will and your purpose and predetermined and predestined that should occur. Now, Lord, observe the threats and grant to your bondservants full freedom to declare your message boldly and fearlessly. Verse number 31. You got that right. Kai, de, santon, alton, esaliste, ho, topos, en ho, eson, sina, gomenoi, kai, epi, lesos, deson, apontes, tu, huyo, nubatos, kai, elelum, ton logon to theo meta paresia. Then they have in request, and the place was shaken where they kept on being assembled. And they were filled up all of the Holy Spirit, and they kept on speaking the Word of God with great fearless freedom of speech. Now, I didn't think much the other morning when this house was shaken down just about. It did a lot of damage to our house. We had a violent earthquake. The epicenter was about 12 miles that way. And I'm going to tell you something. It felt like this, a jackhammer was underneath this house bouncing it up and down. My bed slid 10 inches across the room with me bouncing around in the bed. My car moved 6 inches out there in the garage, sideways. The house was rattling, shaking, and rolling, wasn't it, Marilyn? Thunder roaring all around us. I can imagine right now that this was going on there. And they weren't looking someplace to hide or keep from the ceiling falling in on them, as we were. I couldn't believe. I thought I was some horror movie or something. The house just kept on shaking. Earthquakes only happen for a moment. But this earthquake was, the house just kept on shaking and rumbling and roaring and bouncing. Just like that, just bouncing, vibrating. Like somebody put this house on solid rubber tires and took it up Chattahoochee Creek Road with all the washboards up there bouncing all the way. That's what it was like. I never been in an earthquake like that. I wasn't thinking about preaching then. I was thinking about surviving, and I was wondering how in the world what all broke and what all hit the floor. I am thankful that we didn't have more damage than we did. And we still have this house. They were going to have nothing. Verse number 32. The next two verses, and we're going to quit here. Today plethus ton pisteu santon enicardia kai psyche mia kai ude ace to ton hipa archonton autu elegain idion ene all ein autois panta koina. And the whole multitude of the ones having believed, they kept on being of one heart and one soul. And in any of their possessions, any and all of their possessions, to him kept on saying, to be, but kept on being to them all things in common. In other words, they sold everything they had and put it in a common purse. This is what we call pure communism, basically. They couldn't own anything, people. The whole world had changed when they believed. Kai diname megale apodidon to maturion ho apostoloi tes anastasios tu kyriosus charis te megalein ein epi pontas autos. And with power great, they kept on giving witness, the apostles, of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and grace. And both grace great kept on falling upon them, actually. Grace kept on falling upon them. When you come to this type of situation where now you become a believer like you were in Saudi Arabia, and you become a believer, you're a dead man. In Syria, you become a believer and you're a dead man. When you become a believer, you own nothing. Not even your own life. And that's what these people faced. That's what they faced. It says, Ude gar en deis tes ein en autois hosoi gar ketero ketetorois kurion e oikion hi parkon Paul Hontes, F. Veron, Tas, Timas, Ton, Pip, Pras, Komeno. He said there wasn't anybody needy among them. There were as many as owners of lands or houses they had. selling them, continually selling them. They kept on bringing the prices of the things being sold. Kai, Edi, Thon, Paratos, Podas, Thon. Apostolon, Dia, Dedeto, De, Hekaston, Kathote, Antes, Kadian, Eken. And they kept on placing, each and every one of them kept on placing for themselves beside the feet of the apostles. And they kept on giving throughout to each one according to its need that they kept on having. Yosef, De, Ho, Epi, Clethes, Barnabas, Apolton, Apostolon, Ha, Esten, Mether, Me, Nuo, Menon, Huios, Paraklesios, Levetes, Ki, Prios, To, Gene. And Joseph, the one having been called upon Barnabas from the apostles, which is being translated heir of comfort, a Levite, from Cyprus, in the race, it says, Hipparchontes, Auto, Agru, Polesos, Enegen, To, Crema, Kai, Ethaken, Para, Tus, Podas, Ton, Apostolon. And it says they had a field, having been sold and brought the gifts, the proceeds, and he placed beside the feet of the apostles. Property didn't mean anything anymore. You become outlaws. You become pilgrims in the land. While you stretch out your hand to cure and perform signs and wonders through the authority and by the power of the name of your holy child and servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, and the place in which they had assembled was shaken, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they continued to speak the word of God with freedom and boldness and courage. Now the company of the believers, remember that they had become outlaws now, they were demanded that they couldn't speak in the name of Jesus. And now the company of the believers was in one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything which he possessed was exclusively his own. But everything they had was in common and for use of all. And with great strength and ability and power, and the apostles delivered their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace and loving kindness and favor and goodwill rested richly upon each and every one of them all. Now, was there a destitute? Nor was there a destitute or needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands and houses proceeds to sell them one by one. They brought back the amount received from the sales. And by the way, this was a quick sale. They were selling their property much cheaper than what it was worth. They weren't looking for bargains. They weren't going to make money with this. They weren't going to pad their bankrolls. They're going to give it all to the Lord. Boy, we really have a hard time doing this, wouldn't we? And they lay it at the feet of the apostles. Then the distribution was made according to as one had need. Now Joseph, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, who was surnamed Barnabas by the apostles, special messengers, which interpreted means son of encouragement, sold a field which belonged to him and brought the sum of the money and laid it at the feet of the apostles. a good example, wasn't it? A good example. Now they were going to become transients in the lands. They were going to be nomads, just like Abraham was. Looking for and desiring a city which builder and maker is God. Looking for the speedy return of Jesus to get them out of this mess. And yet here 2,000 years later, here we stand in a different world, a different time. And yet we have the same Lord and Savior as they had. What will you do for Jesus? What will you do for Jesus? What will you give to Jesus? What do you have that He needs? What does Jesus need that you have? Would you be willing to do this? I wouldn't ever call upon you to do this. I remember a long time ago when I was going to the seminary, one of my teachers, Dr. Darius Sherwood Madden, or Boots Madden, I never called him that. Other people referred to him as that, I did not. He was Dr. Madden, Brother Madden to me. We were running around all over the Middle East together, dodging bullets in 1975 and the early part of 76. And he encouraged me to go home and sell everything that I had and move down to the Los Angeles area and go to seminary, which I was already going to seminary anyway. And he come and followed me back up there to the humble little home that I had built with my own hands. He looked at that house, looked around there, and said, "Brother Phillips, don't sell this house. You need it. You built this with your own hands, son. You can go to school. You can pastor that church. And you can live in this home. But just remember one thing. Everything you have is Jesus. It belongs to Jesus. He won't let you use it. But you stay here. You need this house. You stay here. This water tastes good." And I did. For a long time I kept that place. When I sold it, gave it away basically, I gave a part of my soul away to somebody that wasn't even absolutely, wasn't worthy of it at all. Nor cared. But with decisions we make in life, with what we have, what you have in this world, use it for the glory of God. Whether it's this home that we have here that's damaged with earthquake now. But we're here. The room is lit up where you can see me up here preaching. We have a place for people to sit if we ever are able to have public meetings again. We have a comfortable home that we need in our golden years. I ask you to continue to pray for us and continue to support us when you can. I almost lost my wife the 19th of last month with congestive heart failure. She was near death. I called all the hospitals in the Bakersfield area down there and they said, "Don't bring her. We won't take her." I said, "She's dying." Called over here at Bishop, California, 70 miles from here where the hospital is. I said, "My wife is dying. I've done everything I can do to keep her alive, and it's not enough. She needs to be on IV Lasix, and she has congestive heart failure. She's just fluid, full of fluid, and I can't do any more." And I said, "She's going to die within a day or two." And they said, "Bring her over here and call us when you get here." I got over there and called them on the phone before I could get out of the car and open her door, Marilyn. They were out there with oxygen and a wheelchair taking her in there. They tested her for coronavirus, and when it was negative, they began to treat her and put her in a room, and they kept her for 5.5 days, and she came out 38 pounds lighter than what she was. She went in because of all the fluid retention in her body. Now we have to watch that every day. when we have a real comfortable home to live in where it's safe for her to walk around in here, even get the exercise of walking back and forth. I'm thankful for that. Every day that I wake up and I see this house and I see her home, I am thankful to God that God provided it. And I try to use it for God's glory. Pray for us as we pray for you. And what do you need to do with what you have? Are you using it wisely? Are you? Our Father, we send this message out for you, for your people, for those you love and that love you. And I pray that you use their hearts, the words to touch their hearts, to do with their lives what you want them to do. Whether it's preach your word, teach your word, study your word, pass it on, comfort others, help others, support others, whatever it may need be, that they will comply to your needs. In Jesus' name we ask these things for your honor, for your glory. Please forgive me where I fail you. Amen.